This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. We may be watching the rapid breakdown of all civil society in Venezuela. At the beginning of a week, with international institutions saying there are more refugees in the world right now than at any time since World War II, the Western Hemisphere may be poised to add significantly to the 65 million total displaced people in the world. More about the scale of the refugee crisis this hour, we will speak with someone whose job it is to welcome people into the U.S. in Texas, someone who is a refugee himself from the Horn of Africa. But first, we take you to the streets of Caracas, Venezuela, the once prosperous oil producer. The nation that was selling discounted oil to U.S. consumers just 6 years ago is slipping into a chaos that looks more and more like Somalia. There were more than 50 mostly food riots in the last 2 weeks alone. Venezuela's inability to feed itself has crippled the country's most basic functions, including its education system. Venezuela's 7 million public school students have probably missed 40% of their school year because teachers are absent, waiting in line for food on their specific government-designated day, or worse, they've just gone missing or have been killed. Joining me now is Hannah Dreyer, an Associated Press correspondent in Caracas. Welcome, Hannah.
Good to be with you, John.
So what does it feel like to see this crumbling of civil society that's going on in Venezuela?
I really can't believe it. It feels like just in the past couple months, things have gotten so much worse here. There's been a slow decline for years, but now we're seeing food riots daily. I leave my house and people are trying to pick the wild mangoes on the trees just to have something to eat for breakfast. There aren't cars on the streets anymore because there are no car parts and nobody's working anyway. It just feels like a totally different country and one where absolutely nothing is working.
What's the way out of this? Is there any way out of this? Is there some sort of international involvement that will halt this slide?
I mean, what we're seeing right now is really the start of a humanitarian crisis. And what's so strange and so unique to Venezuela is that they won't take any international aid. So I have people, readers, who write to me who ask, how can I help? I really want to do something, just give some money, give some food to these people. And the truth is they can't, because all of that kind of help is prohibited. So you can't give these people medicine, you can't give people food, you can't even just give people $100, which would make a huge difference in anybody's life here. All of that is banned.
And what about the transportation system? I mean, can people come in and out of the country? Are the borders being enforced? Is there a refugee crisis that may begin if this gets much worse?
Venezuela right now feels like an island on land. Most of the border here is with Colombia, and the government shut that down almost a year ago. And you hear stories almost daily now of people drowning, trying to cross through the river, people who are dying on the bridge that they let some very sick people use to walk between the two countries. And airlines are also fleeing the country. Right now, it's very hard to get a flight out. One of my flights was canceled recently, and I had to wait a full day to find another one that could take me out of the country. So it's very isolated. And people who want to leave can't because they don't have the money to buy a plane ticket. And almost everyone I know wants to leave.
What is the state of the press corps, the international press corps? It must be dwindling, or I suppose it could be growing, depending upon the way this crisis is being viewed. You don't see the Venezuelan headlines dominating coverage outside of the country.
Reporting has definitely gotten harder here. I recently had a group of armed gangs tell me that I needed to leave the neighborhood because I was a gringo imperialist. It can feel threatening, and there are also some issues with getting people accredited. You know, the life of a foreign correspondent here is so much easier compared to everybody else's. It's hard to really complain.
Although that also could put you at risk in the sense that you were a target because of the ease with which you can move around the country. What about the communication system that is the lifeline for you getting your reports out?
Physically getting the information from Venezuela to other countries has gotten very hard. There's no international calling anymore. So if something happens, I can't just call up my editors. And it also means that if you're a Venezuelan, a lot of people have family in Colombia, in the United States, and you can't make those calls anymore. We have rolling power outages, so sometimes you can't get on the internet. You're trying to write a story in the dark. It's a complicated place to report, but especially lately, it feels so important to try to communicate the disaster unfolding here.
All right, then, Hannah, before we go, what's your day like today? What do you plan to try to figure out in terms of coverage? And what do you have to do between, point A and B to get that accomplished?
Well, the news of today is that we're getting the next step in a process to recall the president. The organized political opposition here has made it its goal for this year to let people vote on whether they want to throw President Nicolas Maduro out or not. And polls show that a big majority of Venezuelans want him gone, but it's very unlikely that the administration is going to let that vote go ahead. So today we have people who have to go and give their fingerprints to administrators to prove that they really do want to sign this petition to recall the president. At the same time, we have thugs who've taken over the country's largest beer distributor. I want to go and check that out, but it's in a dangerous neighborhood, so I have to decide how to go there safely. And we also have, I'm sure, some food protests that will get in the way of all of that planned reporting.
If those stories don't pan out, you could focus on the 7 million public school students who have yet another day off.
That's right. The school situation here is so sad because that was really one of the crown jewels of the socialist revolution. And for years, schools were getting better and better. It seemed like people really might escape poverty. But now the estimates are that 40% of teachers a day aren't showing up. They're in food lines, they're trying to make their own lives work. And so you have these kids who risk their lives to get through the slums and get to their schools. And they show up, and it's like an all-day lunch hour. They're just hanging out, waiting for somebody to come and teach them. And more days than not, they're missing classes.
Hannah Dreyer, AP correspondent in Caracas. Thanks so much, Hannah. And, watch yourself.
Trying.
We'll talk to you
Thanks,
again.
John.